of the show, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Fitella. Hey, Martin, how's your back today?
I'm good, actually. Thank you very much. But I was working on my wife's. She didn't sleep well for, I don't know, what if she folded herself over somehow or what, put a kink in her neck. So I was working on it, and she says, oh, some more, please release these things, you know. And I'm thinking, where is this coming from, you know? Why is this woman not perfect? And then I realized, oh, yeah, she does that so that I could learn more about cause of back pain and what we can do for people. She's actually just offering me the opportunity for me to learn to work on it.
Right.
So, you know what I did is I took the scalar wand and I pointed it at that and, you know, the muscle attachments, each one of them sort of up and down every which way where it was stuck. And sure enough, there's some relief to be had.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's funny because last week we talked about back pain and, you know, relaxing sore and aching muscles and inflammation and that sort of stuff. And I know we want to deal it with a little bit more, but I have a sore back.
Aww.
I must be sympathetic to the podcast, but I was doing my hot yoga and and I think I stretched down a little bit too far and just behind my hip, like right at the base of the back.
Yeah.
Is sore, and I don't know if it's just the muscles or whatever. I've been putting some magnesium gel on it, and now I'm using the wand because I had never thought of that. And it's not debilitating or anything else. It's just a little bit painful when I stretch a certain way, and I try and stretch it out. And I thought, huh, this is interesting. We're getting right into
the story.
The story. Can't say that we don't know what we're talking about when it comes to back pain because we're experiencing it right now. But
yeah, I'm a total expert. I've told this many times, but, you know, like I was unable to get out of bed to go to the bathroom. I mean, I would roll out of the bed on all fours and then just simply crawl to the toilet and then sort of haul myself up sort of in such a way so that I wouldn't have to go vertical onto the toilet. I wouldn't stand. I would just sit on it, right? And do my thing. And then I would roll down on the floor and crawl back to wherever the heck I was going to be. And I remember having to spend a number of nights in my rocking chair face down. You know, my particular back problem was such that if I was bent backwards, it would relieve the pressure on the nerves, right?
Mm, okay.
So I would open out this rocker and I would just put my forehead on where you normally would put feet, you know, the foot support.
Yeah.
And I would just sort of folded over backwards in the chair. Anyway, I mean, in those days I tried just about anything. I remember I was taking Roboxacet and I was taking some you know, like any drug, please give me something to make this go away.
Right, just get rid of the pain, please.
And it didn't work. You know, the only things that really worked were to essentially numb me enough that I wouldn't feel anything. But by that time, I was so stoned that I was useless for anything.
Right, right.
That's
so, not the way we want to be, is it?
So at that point, I actually found out that the plot works really well. It's very relaxing, and it's good for back pain.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not available over the counter, so I wasn't able to continue.
Right, right. So that actually brings up a really good point. Like, there's mainstream medical doctor pain procedures. They have a word for it, don't they? Protocols.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we should talk about those and then maybe just talk about, you know, just some natural things or non-protocol things that might even, we would probably think of as being a little more effective and a little less dangerous.
Right, I think we'll probably end up doing both at the same time. You know, the pain essentially is inflammation. You know, like your body sends pain or I don't know what, your body sends inflammation.
Impulses to your brain saying there's pain in this area.
Right, but no, I want to say it differently. The inflammation is what your body uses to try and heal stuff.
Yes.
So for instance, when I went to try and repair the damage that had been done to me, I went to this naturopathic doctor who was using bee venom therapy.
Oh.
Where he would inject bee venom right all along my spine, you know, like... my biggest problems were somewhere from the area that you're mentioning on you, the lower lumbar, all the way up to about the waistline, you know. So all of my sacral and lumbar was the degeneration. And so I've actually had an x-ray that showed that I was having degenerative changes in that part of my body. And anyway, so this fellow would milk bees. It was a funny thing, you know, bee normally, in order to give away its venom, when the bee stings you, they lose their tail because it's got a hook on it. It just rips out of their body and they die. Not this guy. He had the bees and he would have them dancing on a teeny little net, sort of like a window screen that you would use to keep mosquitoes out.
Yeah.
And he would apply electric current to it, which would totally irritate the bees, and they would just let go of their venom. And so he had a little plate underneath it and would collect it and keep it in his fridge. And so he was able to collect lots and lots of this material. So he would give me somewhere between 8 and 24, I don't know what you'd call them, injections. He was using a syringe and a needle to do this all along the spine. And we did that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 times a week for maybe 8 weeks going. I mean, I remember being so high from that bee venom, it's just unbelievable. But what the body does, it sees this irritation and sends inflammation right into the site because it needs to repair it. And by having this localized request for repair, has actually caused the body to fix it. So I actually have had a subsequent x-ray that shows that I'm better off after that as compared to the before.
Cool.
Kind of nice. So there's your demonstration of what really is going on in the body. You have a localized irritation, a problem, and the body sends the inflammation there in order to create this repair job, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like a signaling system. You know, you signal to everything else that through this irritation, inflammation, that this is where we need to repair something. So what does a normal human do? He goes into his cupboard and picks up some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory.
Yep.
So what does that do?
What does that do?
Block your nerve signaling.
So then you don't know that you're in pain.
Yeah, you just simply pretend that it's not there. It's that chewing up over top of that red light on your dashboard. I don't know. Did I make it clear?
Yeah. So basically what we're talking about is blocking the pain but not fixing the problem.
Right.
Yeah, so the tape or the gum over the light that says that you're out of oil.
Right. Now there's this other side effect of these NSAIDs, and I mean, I'm going to have to read it. NSAIDs block enzymes that are involved in the production of inflammatory compounds. These enzymes speed up chemical reactions, either to bind molecules together or to split them apart. The problem with the NSAIDs is that they not only block the enzyme that produced inflammatory compounds, they also inhibit enzymes that manufacture the cartilage components. So what we're hearing here is that essentially they block the repair from taking place. The body manufactures the irritation so it knows where to make the repairs, and these drugs block both the irritation and the repair. So you're essentially extending the period of trouble. So
cool.
So that's the NSAIDs, and you know, you can get prescription grade stuff like naproxen and Voltaren, diclofenac, pyroxicam, known as feldene, and sulindac, clinarin. That sounds almost erotic.
Yeah.
Anyway, these things are really popular with druggies. You know, this is the sort of stuff that you could get money on the streets for.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, the common ones are ASA, acetylsalicylic acid, such as aspirin, anacin, or ibuprofen, like Motrin, Advil, and the likes.
Right. So these things, of course, they just do their work. They don't have any side effects or anything, right?
Well, long-term use will give you liver damage.
Oh, wonderful.
Also, they are quite acidic, so you can get a bit of heartburn and long-term use ulcers and bleeding. They mess around with your blood clotting ability, so if you take too many, you shouldn't cut yourself shaving.
Right. Huh. Just something else for us to worry about now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, they do have an increased incidence of kidney disease. And the funniest thing is that it accelerates the progression of joint degeneration. Oh, that's the funniest thing. So you have joint pain, you take these things, and they accelerate the degeneration process.
Wow, that's really screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah, so then there's the famous COX-2 inhibitors. COX, cyclooxygenase, is the enzyme that oxidizes this particular acid called arachidonic into a hormone called prostaglandin. Anyway, they were the COX-2 and COX-1. And the COX-2 inhibitor, or rather the COX-2 triggers the inflammatory mechanism in the body. And the COX-2 inhibitors, they were really famous. They were the Vioxx and Celebrex. Celebrex is still on the market. I actually saw an advertisement on television the other day. Guess what? I watched a soccer game on TV.
Wow. Who won?
Oh, I don't know. Some team. I mean, it was two countries. I don't know. Somebody played somebody else. I watched it just for the sheer entertainment value. But the interesting thing was that on the break, they showed a Celebrex advertisement.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, how appropriate. Yeah, of course, people would like to play soccer but are in too much pain. And, you know, the advertisement runs beautifully. Like, it shows some happy middle-aged people in activities. I think it was a, you know, 55-year-old-looking woman on a trampoline, you know, doing something really cool that you wouldn't expect an aging chick to do.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm looking at it. So far, so good. This is nice. Bang! Screen full of Celebrex. Enjoy life. And I said to my wife, well, up to this point, this thing was looking pretty good. Anyway, Vioxx got taken off the market because it was causing strokes and heart attacks.
Wonderful.
100,000 people died prematurely. You know, they would have died anyway. We all die anyway. But 100,000 people died because of this drug being on the market. They got pulled. Now, if you knew of some, say, a group of 5 or 6 terrorists killing 100,000 Americans, do you suppose that there would be some kind of public memory of this massive massacre?
Yes. Yes, I think there probably would be.
Right. And this took place about in 2008. If my memory serves me right. Now, I mean, do you even remember it?
No.
Nothing, right? Total silence. Why is there the total silence? I suspect that it's because the pharma is so integrated with the press and TV. You know, they are their biggest advertisers. So when they say, please don't write about the story or else we'll have to take our advertising somewhere else, the editorial or managerial staff at the organization says, you know, guys, we could just drop the story. I mean, why do we need to whip about that? We have some other stuff to write about. Let's write about Mike Jackson's one-year anniversary or something like that.
Yep, I would say that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, because why irritate our biggest supporter? But honestly, it just boggles my mind how it's possible that I wouldn't call it a first-degree murder, but certainly a premeditated killing. So maybe it was a murder of 100,000 Americans should get some notice.
Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely mind-boggling that we'll have a couple people die of something and everyone else jumps on the bandwagon for it, and then something like this, which is way bigger.
Oh, huge news.
Nothing.
Yeah. Huge. Well, I mean, even to this day, it's a common wisdom that if you are in the risk of a blood clot, you should be taking a baby aspirin every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so common. People tell me, oh yeah, and I'm taking a baby aspirin every day. 20,000 Americans every year die because of this, prematurely. I mean, you know, people die anyway. We all will die. But going early, I'm not volunteering for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not if we don't have to.
Right. So anyway, Celebrex is a COX-2 inhibitor. It's still on the market. It is a slightly different compound from the Vioxx. So I guess they don't kill as many or whatever, or it hasn't been proved yet. Don't know. So anyway, the most famous painkiller, acetaminophen, Tylenol, Panadol, Xdol. That's not an anti-inflammatory. That's just a painkiller, right?
Yeah.
That's the one that you would take in conjunction with the anti-inflammatory. The trouble is that really kidney problems and liver problems was an issue. And here's a little caution. If you're taking acetaminophen on a regular basis for arthritis pain relief, you should make sure that other over-the-counter medications, such as a cold or a flu remedy, do not contain enough acetaminophen to constitute an overdose.
Wow.
So what's your thing? And then here's the most favorite one, corticosteroid. I remember when my back pains, and actually my pains first started with my feet. The structure of my feet started collapsing in the effects of the mercury toxicity. Some people get tendonitis, some people just start getting, well, the ligaments were starting to go. So the structure that was holding my foot together started to collapse. So I went to a doctor and he said, well, I'll send you to an orthopedic surgeon for evaluation. They took an x-ray of it and they took an ultrasound of it and they tried to understand it. Not once did they consider that it's a weakening of the structural organization of the body, right? So anyway, this doctor said, well, I'll give you a steroid shot. You know, so he took this long needle and shoved it all the way up through the heel right to the bone, and that took care of it for 6 weeks. What I didn't know that it takes something like a year and a half of water drinking to wash this out of the body.
Hmm.
You know, corticosteroids are designed to, I mean, it's sort of like a natural substance in the body, or at least mimicking a natural thing called cortisone, and it makes your body think that that it needs to reduce the swelling and inflammation. Because cortisone is the stuff that down-regulates the inflammation.
Wow.
Have you ever known anyone that's on one of the stronger ones, like prednisone?
Nope.
Ah. Yeah, it's called a moon face. It just changes the person's appearance. You know, like if they are on heavy dose prednisone ongoing, it just, you know, just, I don't know what it does, but it just creates a very large head. Anyway.
Doesn't sound like much fun.
No, it's not. So I was going to suggest to you that that if you had any recovery on hand, that you should take maybe 20 of them, 20 capsules, or 2 or 3 teaspoons all at once. Because that's what a natural anti-inflammatory effect will do in your body, you know, it'll just bring it down and allow the body to heal itself. Do you happen to have some on hand?
I do.
Yeah, please. Please do. Please do take it. Take it just before food, before lunch, before dinner. It's a... I did something similar like what you did. I was doing yoga not long ago, distracted with life. And instead of focusing on what I was doing, I was thinking about, well, who knows what. And I went and reached, you know, sitting down, reaching for my toes, you know.
Yep.
Pulling forward on the low back. Well, I overdid it. And it's like, and I'm thinking, oh dear, I wonder how much damage did I do? And this happened at about maybe 7 or 8 in the morning. And by 10, I was feeling uncomfortable. By noon, I was thinking, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So before I had lunch, I took 20 capsules of recovery. And then at 3 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, I took 20 more. And before bedtime, I took 10 more. So it was a fairly heavy dose. But I woke up in the morning just fine. Thank you very much. Ta-da!
Good.
And, you know, the reason it works the way it works, without being so offensive to the body, is that it uses natural substances that the body would either make itself or would seek to build other useful things out of.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense.
Yeah, it's logical, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So, aside from the acetathiomethin, what other things can we take for our back pain?
Well, not that. No, I mean...
Well, I was just thinking of some of the bad stuff. I mean, like, because I've heard of muscle relaxants, for example.
Yeah, like Robaxit or something like that, yeah.
Or surgery. And I mean, there's quite a few things that are pretty wild stuff that you could end up doing, right?
Yes. Well, we have this cool article called Inflammation Pathophysiology. You know, it talks about trauma, catabolism, and disease. You know, like there are two types of activities in the body, either the anabolic or catabolic.
Okay.
Catabolic means tear down, bring apart, reduce. Anabolic would be put together, grow, and rebuild or build up. And that's why anabolic steroids is such a fun thing, because they are the kind of steroids that build up. Catabolic, on the other hand, is that which takes you apart. So, how do we make it simple? Antioxidants is the sort of thing that helps protect your body.
Right.
So those sort of things like antioxidants, vitamins, coenzyme Q10, alpha lipoic acid or NADH, nicotinamide. Those are the sort of things that that will help shore up the body so that it doesn't succumb to oxidative stress. Oxidative stress, you know, the reactive oxygen species that are released inside every cell, need to be balanced by the reducing, you know, the RS. The ROS needs to be combined with RS. If you have too much ROS oxidation, then you're aging quickly. You're sick, you're aging, you're falling apart, and so on. I only know of two things that are on the market. They're this kind of balanced supplement. One is cell food, and the other one is ASEA. ASEA is a funny liquid, tastes like chlorinated water, but it's actually a water and salt that has been taken apart and stabilized in such a way that it supplies a balanced amount of both the reducing and oxidating elements. So it helps your body manage the equilibrium between oxidation and reduction. It's a really weird thing, you know, like you need to oxidize in order to create energy. It's sort of like fire, right? Like you need to have fire in order to have heat. But at the same time, if you have fire, you're going to get burnt.
Yes.
I guess like in a car engine, you have the combustion chamber and the pistons, and that's where you have the fire. But in that head that surrounds the pistons, you have the cooling fluid running all around it in these holes and whatnot. And they pump the coolant through that, and then they're cooling the head so it stays cold enough, but at the same time you have this fire on the inside. Well,
right,
this sort
right.
of thing is going on in every cell. Right? Like every time you want to move, a cell has to have energy to move, so it fires off this oxidating bit of energy. Well, then it needs to be decayed down with the reducing elements. So if your lifestyle is increasing the amount of the oxidating, then that's how we age. And it's really weird. I mean, it's, you know, a high level of ROS, reactive oxygen species, is linked to heart disease, arthritis, cancer, periodontal disease, liver disease, cataracts, macular degeneration, diabetes, asthma, and autoimmune diseases. So it's a long list. Pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
So where did I get into this? Oh yeah, how do we prevent all of this? Well, so the natural things, we need to get anabolic or anti-catabolic and anti-inflammatory. So I'll give you this here. To stabilize collagen aldenine reducible crosslinks to reinforce the strength and elasticity of connective tissues such as cartilage, synovium, ligaments, tendons, fascia, bone, blood vessels, walls, and the dermis of the skin. Isn't that a cool thing? I mean, this is what the guys who actually do research write and say. It sounds practically Greek to me.
I was going to say, I didn't really understand any of that.
Well, I guess what we can say is this. The active ingredient in recovery is called Nutricol, and it's composed of two things, EGCG from green tea and resveratrol from grapes. And when supplied to the body, it will fix your connective tissue, which is the ligaments, the tendons, the bone, the blood vessels, the skin itself, so on. And that's just one of the five things what it does. Improve protective epithelial mucosal surface integrity. in digestive, respiratory, and genitourinary tract. So what the heck did I just say now, huh?
And this is supposed to be the natural stuff.
Yeah, this is the natural stuff. What it tells you, what I'm seeing here is, what does it do in the body?
Right. And so can we say it strengthens the connective tissues and perhaps mm-hmm. even the bone mm-hmm. and helps, if the body is allowed to heal itself, it will heal itself, right? If it has right building blocks. And so what this does is give that to the body?
Yeah, supports the recovery. Well, that's the word. Supports the recovery of health, of rebuilding of the proper function.
So I guess one of the messages we want people to hear today, because I know we're getting close to the end of our episode, is that just because you're in pain or you've been unhealthy doesn't mean that your body is going to remain that way forever. If you make a change and you start putting stuff into your body that can help it regenerate and improve itself, then that's what's going to happen.
Right. Well, just a moment ago we were talking about that taking this particular drug to block the pain actually causes the destruction of the cartilage itself, right?
Yep.
That was the over-the-counter painkiller. So if you take this instead, this being recovery, it will lower the inflammation and at the same time support the reconstruction of all connective tissue, including the lining of your lungs, your blood vessels, your urinary tract, just repair.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd stay with that, huh?
I think that's the important part, because really when you look at the drugs, even surgery is not repairing. It's basically tearing down everything and then hopefully putting it back in a way that your body can start repairing it.
Yeah, my associate is, she's working on our website. He just wrote in today saying, I love working for you. I'm taking today off. I'm going to visit my mother-in-law. She's in the hospital. She just had a hip replacement.
Hmm.
And like, oh, fine. She just had a hip replacement. Well, you know, it's not like it's easy. For instance, after you've had your hip replacement, you are never allowed to cross your legs because you will pop it out of the socket. I hope you remember to never cross your legs because it sure hurts when you pop it out of the socket.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not a small intervention, right? I mean, you rip out the whole joint and hack it off with a saw and implant this new ball and socket and whatever into your body.
No, that's we would prefer not to do that. And I mean, and the thing is if you're going to do it, if you're going to have the hip replacement, why not take 2 months and try something that might mean you don't have to?
Well, yeah, I hope that we could claim that we can bring people back in just that, but it would be more appropriate to advocate to the 30 and 35-year-olds that might be listening here that they must remember to start early. You know, it's the prevention that's very important. Like, we don't want to be trying to make a decision, well, should I give a try to this thing for 2 months or go for the operation? It should be 10 years earlier, living a lifestyle that doesn't take you to that place of decision.
Right. Totally makes sense.
So I would rather be spending $60 a month on recovery for 10 years than have a hip replacement operation, even if it were insured by my health insurance. Because that operation itself is, I don't know what the number is, but I'm speculating it's going to be $20,000 to $50,000.
Yeah, but I'd rather not spend the money and have my hip, thank you very much.
Well, number one, but number two, society-wide cost, right? But isn't it ironic that the insurance company will pay for the hip replacement but will not pay for preventing it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, you know, this 10 years, that's 120 times 60. Well, that's about the same number, right?
Yep.
Hmm.
And one gives you a better quality of life, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, you're never hurt. And your skin looks better. Your lungs function. And your urinary tract is in good shape. And you don't get high blood pressure. And you don't get a heart attack. So, I mean, the savings are gigantic.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to try and advocate... tilt at the windmills, right? How will we get this juggernaut, the pharma industry, and how do we wrestle away from their control the entire healthcare system? Because they own it all the way from top down, every which way, in every direction. They own the Congress, they own the Senate, they own the television channel and the magazines, either directly or through lobbying. I mean, this healthcare debate that's taken place some months ago now in America, trying to decide what to do with health insurance. I mean, it's just a big giveaway to the pharma and the insurance industry. I mean, it's just amazing. It does nothing to improve the cost of the overall care of the Americans. I mean, it has been bankrupting the nation, and they've done nothing about reversing that.
No, that's right.
Okay. Well, anyway, listen, if you have back pain, joint pain, eye pain, consider going natural, because the alternative is not pretty.
That's right. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to know more about their specific situation and what they could do, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, we're still here, life-enthusiast.com or 1-866-543-3388. Give us a call. We're restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.